Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It starts with a glimpse, a fleeting shadow where none should be. A tall figure cloaked in darkness watching from the edge of the familiar. You tell yourself it's nothing, a trick of the light, a figment of an overactive imagination. But then it happens again and again, until you're left wondering, what if it's not all in your head? Tonight we bring you the story of Claire, a young motocross enthusiast who thought her family's move to the rural Northern Territory would bring adventure and peace. What she found instead was something altogether different, a presence that defied explanation, stalking her across time and space, a figure she came to know as the Hat Man. Was it a psychological projection born of fear and stress, or something far more sinister? A shadowy entity with unknown motives. From unexplained deaths to spine-chilling appearances, Claire's experiences will leave you questioning the thin veil between reality and the unknown. Let's get to the letter. Let me apologize if this seems long. I've been holding this in for a while, trying to convince myself that it's all just my imagination. But deep down, I don't believe that anymore. I hope sharing my story will bring some clarity, or maybe just someone who understands. I live in the rural parts of Darwin Northern Territory, where the wet season is oppressive and the landscape stretches endlessly into bushland. My family recently moved here, buying a large block of land to build a new life. At first, everything seemed normal, if not a bit isolating. The nights were silent, save for the hum of cicadas and the occasional distant cry of wildlife. But there was a stillness, an eerie quality I couldn't quite put my finger on. One particularly hot day, my friend Brad came over to cool off in our pool. We were playing volleyball, laughing about nothing in particular, when I happened to glance toward the edge of the yard. There, half hidden behind a palm tree, was a man. He was impossibly tall, easily over 6.5 feet, wearing a dark trench coat and a hat. Like something out of an old detective film. He didn't move. Didn't wave, just stood there, watching. I froze. "Brad, do you see that?" I asked, pointing. But when I looked back, he was gone. Brad laughed it off, calling me crazy, but I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Later, I walked over to the spot where I'd seen him, but there was no sign anyone had been there. Still, the image of that figure burned itself into my mind. Over the following weeks, I started seeing him more often, always at a distance, always standing perfectly still. Once I opened the bathroom window to let out steam after a shower and found him staring up at me from the garden. I shut the window so fast I nearly broke it. I began keeping the curtains closed, but it didn't matter. I knew he was there. Even the animals noticed something was wrong. Our cat Diego, who used to roam the garden freely, suddenly refused to go beyond the grass. He'd hiss at nothing. His fur standing on end. Then there were the budgies. They'd been healthy one day, chirping away in their outdoor cage and dead the next. The vet said they died from the cold. The cold? In the middle of a Northern Territory summer, it made no sense. The turning point came on a stormy night. I was in the shed working on my motocross bike while the wind howled and lightning lit up the sky. I'd left both shed doors open to let the wind blow through, but I was so focused on the bike that I didn't notice the silence until it was absolute. No wind, no rain, just silence. Then, bang! A deafening crash behind me. I spun around, heart racing, thinking lightning had struck the smaller garden shed. But as the next flash of lightning illuminated the yard, I saw him, the Hat Man. He stood beside the shed, his silhouette sharp and distinct against the light. I couldn't move, couldn't scream. It felt like he was looking straight into me, though I couldn't see his face. The next crash of thunder broke my paralysis, and I ran as fast as I could to the house. I didn't stop until I was in my mom's arms, shaking like a child. For a while, I convinced myself that it was stress or lack of sleep, but then came the movie. My friend Maddie and I decided to see a horror film, something about a demon haunting a family. The creature in the film had glowing red eyes and a malevolent grin. But what struck me most was how much it reminded me of the Hat Man. It was as if the movie had pulled him straight out of my nightmares and onto the screen. After that, everything escalated. He wasn't just watching anymore. He was closer, bolder. I saw him while driving home from work, standing by the side of the road. At a motocross race, I spotted him in the stands. When I looked again, he was gone, but the distraction caused me to crash. I spent the night in the hospital, but even that didn't feel like a safe escape. It wasn't until I came home from the hospital that things took their darkest turn. I was asleep in my room when I woke with a start, sensing something outside. My curtains were drawn, but there was no mistaking it. He was there. I don't know how I knew, but I did. I threw the curtains open, and there he was, standing just feet away, patting a creature on the head. It was the demon from the movie, the same glowing eyes, the same twisted grin. I screamed. My brother burst into the room, grabbed a flashlight, and ran outside. I watched him through the window, yelling at the darkness, daring whatever it was to show itself. He didn't see anything, but I know what I saw, and I know it saw me too. After that night, I thought the worst was over. I hadn't seen the Hat Man for weeks, and though the fear lingered, I began convincing myself that maybe, just maybe, he was gone for good. I clung to any semblance of normalcy I could find. My family and I decided it was time for a fresh start. We sold the property and moved to another rural area, even more isolated than before. My parents believed the open space would be good for us, but deep down I knew it wasn't just the land I was trying to leave behind. For a while, things were calm. The new house was modern, spacious, and surrounded by untouched bushland. I busied myself with unpacking, decorating my room, and throwing myself back into motocross training. Life almost felt normal again, and I started to let my guard down. But deep inside, I knew I could feel it. He wasn't gone. He was just waiting. The first sign came one evening when I was walking back to the house from the shed. The air was thick with the smells of eucalyptus and wet soil, and the cicadas sang their usual deafening chorus. I was halfway to the house when I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. My heart raced as I turned to look, but there was nothing there, just shadows dancing in the dim light. I forced myself to laugh it off, but the feeling stayed with me, prickling at the back of my neck. The next time was different. I was alone, driving home from my boyfriend's place, late one night. The road was deserted, just a ribbon of asphalt cutting through endless darkness. My headlights barely seemed to penetrate the gloom. That's when I saw him. He appeared out of nowhere, running across the road. Not walking, running. His coat billowed behind him like wings, and for a moment, I thought he would collide with the car. Instinctively, I hit the brakes, and as the red glow of the taillights lit up the road behind me, I caught sight of him in my rearview mirror. He was standing in the middle of the road, watching me. His presence felt heavy, suffocating, even from that distance. I slammed the accelerator and sped the rest of the way home, my hands gripping the wheel so tightly they ached. When I reached the driveway, I didn't stop to think. I bolted for the house, locking every door and window behind me. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every creak of the house, every rustle of the trees outside sent my heart racing. I kept imagining him out there watching, waiting. When dawn finally broke, the relief was overwhelming, but it was short-lived. I began to realize that no matter where I went, no matter how far I ran, he would always find me. The final encounter came just a few nights ago. I was sitting in the living room flipping through a book, but not really reading it. The house was quiet, too quiet. My parents and brother had gone to bed, and even Diego, our cat, was curled up on the couch, unnervingly still. That's when I felt it. The air changed, thick and electric, like the moment before a lightning strike. My skin prickled with goosebumps. I looked up, and there he was, standing just outside the glass sliding doors that led to the backyard. His figure was sharper this time, more defined. I could see the lines of his coat, the brim of his hat casting a shadow over his face, but it wasn't just him. Beside him stood the creature from my nightmare, the demon from the horror movie. Its eyes glowed faintly, and it tilted its head as if studying me. I froze. My breath caught in my throat, and for what felt like an eternity, I couldn't move. Then, as if sensing my fear, the hat man raised a hand, slowly pointing at me. I don't know what broke first, my paralysis or my sanity, but I screamed, loud enough to wake the entire house. My brother came running, and as soon as he flicked on the backyard lights, they were gone. No trace, no sound, just the faint sway of the trees in the wind. Now here I am, sharing my story because I don't know what else to do. I've tried to rationalize it, to explain it away as stress, sleep deprivation, or an overactive imagination. But how do you explain something following you from place to place? Something that's as real as the ground beneath your feet, yet vanishes without a trace? I can't help but wonder, what does he want? Why me? And most terrifying of all, will he ever stop? If anyone has answers or has seen him too, please tell me. I'm running out of places to hide. Sincerely, Claire. Claire's story lingers like a shadow at the edge of a dimly lit room. Is the Hat Man a figment of her imagination, a psychological projection brought on by stress and trauma? Or is it something much darker, an entity that defies the boundaries of what we consider real? Let's start with the psychological. Encounters with shadowy figures, particularly ones like the Hat Man, are often linked to sleep paralysis, a condition where the brain awakens, but the body remains frozen. In such a state, the mind can conjure terrifying visions that feel all too real. But Claire's experiences didn't just happen at night. They happened in broad daylight, in public places, and in moments of full wakefulness. That's where the explanation becomes murkier. Could this be a form of shared delusion, subtly influenced by external factors like movies, stress, or even cultural lore? The Hat Man is a well-documented phenomenon in paranormal circles, often described as a harbinger of fear, feeding off the energy of those it haunts. But why does he choose his victims? Why did he follow Claire, growing bolder with each appearance? Then, there are the chilling details that can't be so easily dismissed. The sudden, unexplainable deaths of her pet budgies. The odd behavior of her cat. And that stormy night in the shed, was it just lightning playing tricks on her eyes, or was there something waiting in the shadows? Even more unsettling is the connection between her real-life encounters and the imagery from the horror movie. Did the movie amplify her fears, or was it reflecting something she was already experiencing? And finally, the ultimate question. What does the Hat Man want, if he's a spirit, an energy, or something entirely otherworldly? Why does he linger? Is he a warning, a punishment, or is his purpose something we can't even begin to understand? Whatever the truth may be, Claire's story reminds us that the world is full of mysteries, some explainable, others that defy logic. And while she may never have all the answers, one thing is certain. The Hat Man isn't just a shadow on the edge of her vision. He's a reminder of how thin the veil can be between our reality and something else entirely. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and as always, stay safe.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.